Today is Pentecost Sunday, so it's what a lot of people call the birthday of the church. It's when God pours his spirit out on those that are waiting in an upper room, and the message of Jesus goes from beyond kind of being a Jewish sect into all the nations. And you can read in Acts chapter 2 that all of these other nations start to hear the gospel in languages that they understand. And the transformation in the disciples' lives is they go from being in fear in this upper room to then being bold in proclaiming the message of Jesus. And so it's just this exciting day that we, believe it or not, we are 50 days after Easter. Can you believe that Easter was 50 days ago? I mean, this year is flying by. And so we've been doing this series leading up into Pentecost just to remind us that the Spirit is still active today. Do we believe that? Good, because he is. He's still moving. He's still empowering us. And what we see in Acts 1:8 is that Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit who will empower you to be my witnesses. And so first week in this series, Anita Williams came and just spoke about the person of the Spirit. Isn't she a lovely lady? Just a gentleness of spirit and a real hunger for God. And so she talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, that it's not just a power, but it's a person that we're in relationship with. And last week we looked at the fruit of the Spirit, that actually one of the ways that we are empowered to be witnesses into this world is by a transformed life, a life that displays fruit that goes beyond our strength and our ability to just have nice traits and be good people, but it is spirit empowered to reveal the character of God into the world. And so what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. And so we're going to unpack actually some of what Sandra was speaking into. I'm going to unpack a little bit this morning and just show how the Holy Spirit works through the gifts that he gives to the church. And this reveals the power of God. If the fruit of the Spirit is about revealing and witnessing the character of God into the world, the gifts are about witnessing the power of God into the world. And so that's what we're going to explore this morning. So if you have a Bible, we are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't worry if not, it'll come up on the screen. We've also got some Bibles at the back, so you can grab one of those. But while you're finding that, do you know something I really, really love? I love a power tool. I love a drill. I love just drilling holes for no reason. I was watching Springwatch the other day. I am that old. I am. I love Springwatch. And they were just, this guy was just drilling holes in wood for what bees are they called? Solitary bees to go and live in. I'm like, right, I'm drilling holes in wood. So I'm in my garden just drilling holes, not because really I want the bees to have somewhere to live. I just love drilling holes. Just, I love a drill. Although that isn't a drill, that's a screwdriver. So anyone that knows that that's not a drill, that's fine. I picked up the wrong one. So I love screwing nails into things, no, screws into things. But as you understand from my language is, just because I have an electric screwdriver doesn't mean I'm a DIY expert. Just because I've got the power tool doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. In fact, I was on holiday a couple of weeks ago and I got back. So many things in my house broke while I was away and there was nobody in the house. So I've no idea how that happened. But I walked into my son's room and literally the curtain rail that has been up there for probably a year and a half was just on the floor, just fallen off the wall. And four massive holes in the wall. So clearly I'm not that good. So sometimes I need my dad to come and help, who's really good at DIY. Sometimes I call on experts. Matt, when it's plumbing, I just give him a call and say, can you come and help? Because we can't do everything on our own. But for me, the power tool doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a DIY expert. It's the same with the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to explore this morning. We may see the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to explore evident in people's lives. It doesn't mean that we're super spiritual. The super spiritual ones in church aren't the ones that are reserved to get certain gifts, and those that feel that they're not very spiritual don't get anything. It's possible to have spiritual gifts and actually not be that spiritual. It's possible for me to have the electric screwdriver and not be that very good at DIY. Just because I've got the tools doesn't mean I'm an expert. And Paul is going to speak into some of this stuff as we explore 1 Corinthians. Because he's writing to a community of people that believed, that were pursuing the gifts of the Spirit, and believed that if you had certain gifts, then you were the spiritual elite. Then there's something really special about you. So let me just read into Paul's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1, it says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. And manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. So Paul starts this section of his letter to the church in Corinthians, and he says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware." It's a really important starting point, I think, for Paul. And I think it's important for us today as we start to look at the gifts of the Spirit and as we've been exploring the Holy Spirit. Paul recognizes that it's what was true for the church in Corinth, and I think is still true for us today, that it's possible to have confusing and even wrong ideas about the Holy Spirit. I do not want you to be unaware. Regarding the spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be unaware. And he goes on and reminds them, before they knew Jesus, that they were influenced by all sorts of false teachings, wrong beliefs. And it says, "You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols." I wonder what we give our ears to that really have no place giving their voice into our life. These idols that have no power, no authority, but we give our ear to them. Paul's saying that there's past experiences, there's cultural ideas that can shape how we see spiritual things, and it's not always healthy. That we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. And when we live in the world, we can allow the world to start to shape how we see the things of God. I wonder of us, how many of us have ideas and understandings about the Holy Spirit that maybe have been shaped about things we've seen on TV, or things that we've heard, or things that we just actually want to avoid because we just don't understand it. And we let those things start to shape our view and our perception of the Holy Spirit. See, in the Western world, the mindset often is, if I can't touch it, if I can't understand it and know about it intellectually, I'm not going to give myself to it. Paul says, don't let your framework be distorting. Don't let your old framework be distorting your view of who the Spirit is and what the Spirit can actually do. What we should be shaped by is what the Word of God says. And sometimes we don't fully understand it and we go, that doesn't really make sense. But we're going to let the understanding of who the Holy Spirit is be shaped by Scripture, by who God says he is. And Paul says in verse 3, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See, Paul is saying right from the beginning, when we start to look at the gifts of the Spirit, seek the giver, not the gifts. Seek the giver, not the gifts. Now, the Pentecostal church, of which I've been a part of for decades, we can be guilty of seeking the gifts rather than the giver. And we want the gifts. We want the move. It's so good. It's exciting what God can do in and through his people. But Paul says right from the start, seek the giver. God's the one that gives the gifts, but seek the giver. Be hungry for the giver. Scripture says that before anything else, the first clearest evidence of the Spirit's work is that it leads us to declare that Jesus is Lord, to truly know Jesus, to follow Jesus. See, the Corinthians, they were fascinated by these gifts, but they were neglecting the relationship with God. And they fell into thinking that because they had the electric screwdriver, they were the experts. That they knew what they were doing. And that they almost could drift away from relationship with God. Because look what's happening. Look what God is doing amongst us. And the danger of seeking the gifts and not the giver is that the gifts become the litmus test of spirituality. And we in the church can have a lot to answer for when we've elevated people because of gifting and not because of pursuing the giver. But Paul says, pursue the giver, that as a church, my heart is that we would flow in the gifts of the Spirit because we are hungry for the giver of the Spirit, giver of the gifts. Because we are so hungry for God and seeking him. Paul says the gifts are not the spiritual gauge. In fact, as you jump on one chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if we speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We often read this at weddings. But actually, it's not just about love, it's about the gifts. And he says, and all I have prophetic powers and understand mysteries of all knowledge and have all knowledge, but I have not faith as to remove mountains, but I'm not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I have gained nothing. We love because he first loved us. It's about pursuing the giver. Be consumed with his love and love in a way that only he can. It's an invitation to seek the giver, not the gifts. The other thing is that this electric screwdriver is designed to be used. I didn't buy this and then put it on my shelf and go, now I know what I'm doing. Because the reality is it probably would have fallen off the shelf because I really don't know what I'm doing and the shelf fell down. But you don't buy an electric screwdriver to put it on a shelf as a trophy. The gifts of the Spirit are not a trophy. They are tools to be used. And it's the same. These gifts, we cannot earn them. We don't deserve them. They are not the prize for the really spiritual ones. We seek the giver. The gifts are what we get to ask for. And God, in his generosity, pours them out in his church. And he pours them out in his church for two reasons. And before we look briefly at all of the gifts that are listed here in 1 Corinthians, let me just unpack why God pours out the gifts. He pours out the gifts for the glory of God and for the good of others. That's why God gives the gifts to the church, for the glory of God and the good of others. Look at verse 4, it says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. Paul is saying that there is a unity in diversity that reflects the glory of God. That through the gifts being given to the Spirit, something of God and his nature, that's what the glory of God is. The glory is the character and nature of God. There is something of his glory that is revealed through these diversity of gifts. That he's not limited. He gives all of these gifts and it's the same God. He is not rigid, not chaotic. He's a God of order and variety and creativity. His glory is seen how he brings harmony out of difference. Just look around you. Is there any other place on the planet that this, even in a small gathering like this, diversity of people, of background, of hopes and dreams and origin, family of origin, ethnic origin, anywhere else that this sort of group would gather and experience unity? It's the work of God. It's who he is. It's his glory. Something that only he can do. There's a variety of gifts. He is creative and he delights in empowering us in unique ways. Reveals his character of being generous. God longs to give. We don't earn them. We don't generate them. We get them because he is generous. Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, we often use that verse when it comes to evangelism, and it's true. If you knock, seek, search, find, you'll find Jesus. But look what he goes on and talks about. It says, who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The context is the gifts. And I love how I'm blown away by God's generosity when he says, ask and it will. Seek and you will. Knock and it will. Do you know that God can do all he wants to do by himself? Do you realize that? He's God. Like, by very definition, he is all powerful, can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, doesn't need any help. He's not lacking in capacity. Yet he wants us to partner with him. He wants to be able to pour himself out. He wants to see us flow in the gifts because he's generous. And he won't give gifts that shame or expose us. He says, who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, who then are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father give good gifts? See, the gifts of God are for the glory of God. But also, they're for the good of us. The good of each other. Verse 7 goes on and says, for each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The gifts are not badges to be worn, but gifts to be used. They are there to flow in and through the church. Why? To build each other up and to visibly display the glory and power of God in his church and through his church to a world that desperately needs to encounter him. See, Paul is reminding the Corinthians, and I believe us here today, that the gifts are not just for individuals, but for the community of the church. They're for each one of us. What that means is, you probably won't receive all of the gifts. Because it's not just about us working in isolation. God gives a variety of gifts to a variety of people. Because then we start to work together as we were designed to. See, I don't use this screwdriver for every job. If I want to drill a hole, let me get the one out I was actually meant to get. I use the drill with a drill bit in that's missing at the moment, but that's in there. I use the drill. But if I want to hammer something to a wall, I don't go, oh, well, that's got a bit there. Let's just smack it there and hammer it in. I get the hammer. So there's different tools for different jobs. So oftentimes we use different tools for different jobs because actually the tool that is needed for that job is specific. And God gives a variety of gifts to a variety of people. So we function as the church and we start to use the gifts that have been given in the way that he designed them to be used. I don't use all of those tools in the same way either. Sometimes, if I use this electric screwdriver and I use it on a delicate job, I'm either going to wreck the piece of wood that I'm drilling the screw into, that I'm screwing the screw into, or I'm going to shred the screw because it's just too much power. So sometimes I use a hand screwdriver. Just do it slowly. And I just turn it and just let it happen. See, sometimes we get these gifts, but we have to ask for God's wisdom as we use them because not always are we going to go, that's the moment that I need to use that gift and it needs to be fully... Because that's not what God is saying. And so with it comes a wisdom of what gifts are used when and how far do we go using those gifts. And we need the wisdom of the Spirit because they're for the common good. They're not for us to show how good we are. They're to build each other up. And so we keep other people in mind when we're using the gifts. And we encourage others and we strengthen others and we lead others to that place of knowing God's love. See, it's my heart that this church would flow freely in the gifts of the Spirit. That we'd be a church where the move of the Spirit and the flowing of the Spirit is common. I didn't really grow up in a church that on Sunday, and when we gathered a church that looked like what Paul describes. I grew up in a church that was, we had some of the gifts that we'll explore, but not all of them. Some of them were kind of ignored. Some of them I never heard taught on. Others would be, that were perhaps more palatable, would be exercise and we'd see them moving. But as a youth group, God started to really stir amongst us. And actually, we went off to a youth camp, just like our youth are going to be doing this summer. And I had an encounter with God, and I was, I believe, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he empowered me to be his witness. Known Jesus for so long, but I didn't know that there was this Holy Spirit that can empower me to live as he calls me to live. And I had this amazing encounter, and it happened within our youth group. And we as a youth group started to see God move amongst us. So we would have sleepovers. We actually called them wakeovers because we never went to sleep. But we would be worshipping at 2 o'clock in the morning in the church building because we were just hungry for God. When we knew that one of our young people, a fellow young person was sick, we would just be like, let's pray for him. God can heal. And we start to see God do things. We would get ourselves in places where, and our youth leader would let us have some training around things like words of knowledge, which we'll explore in a few minutes. But in that space, it wasn't the risk of getting it wrong. It was the invitation to step in. And we just go for it. And we started to see God do amazing things when we're hungry, when we were hungry for him. See, my heart is that as a church, we would start to see the gifts of the Spirit move regularly. But what are they? What are the gifts of the Spirit? Let me just quickly run through these ones in 1 Corinthians. There's a list in 1 Corinthians, but actually this isn't the only list in Scripture that we see. And I think this is my view on Paul's lists. I appreciate it might not be everybody's, but I think we can get a little bit weird about Paul's lists. And we think they're a little bit exclusive, like Paul's listed it, there it is. I think he's just kind of going, you know, if he was going to list every gift that God gives, we'd be here all day. And that actually every single one of you have been gifted. And it's a gift from God to reveal his glory and his power into the world around you. And so there's another list in Romans. Some are the same, some are different. And so there's lists of gifts. And my prayer is that actually, as we explore some of these gifts, I'm just going to do the gifts from 1 Corinthians just for time, because I want you to be gone before like the AGM starts this evening for churches together. So, which I know you're all really hungry to get to and you're going to be there. So that's fine. So I'm just going to do the 1 Corinthians 12 list. But there are other lists with other gifts. And my heart is that as we look through these briefly now, that we'll get a hunger for one. Ooh, something about that that just excites me. And maybe that's the Spirit saying, I've got a gift I'd like to give you. And so we're going to explore them. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we see that these gifts are listed about speaking messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, performing miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. In Romans 12, the list goes on and says prophecy, faith, serving, teaching, exhorting, contributing, generosity, leading, acts of mercy. So there's other gifts that start to be listed through the New Testament. But some of them are crossover, but let's just look at 1 Corinthians 12, because he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may... that's 1 Corinthians 14. So what my point here is that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we should eagerly desire these gifts. Not just passively sit back and hope they arrive, but eagerly desire them, one translation says. So it's here, pursue love and desire the spiritual gifts. So as we look at these spiritual gifts this morning, posture yourself to desire, to eagerly be hungry, and just see which one stands out, which few stand out. Maybe Spirit of God is speaking. So let's go through quickly. I've got to do this in 5 minutes. This will be a miracle in itself. The gifts of wisdom, words of wisdom. For me, this is like King Solomon. You know that moment in, I think it's 1 Kings 3, where two women are arguing about whose baby it is. And so they come to King Solomon and say, it's my baby. No, it's my baby. So King Solomon, I believe in that moment, gets a gift of a word of wisdom. And actually, shockingly, he says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get a sword and we'll cut the baby in half. And you can have half each, because then that's better than neither of you having any. And the one woman says, no, you can't possibly do that. That would be taking the life of the child. The other woman says, all right, that seems fair. You have half, I'll have half. Great. And so King Solomon then says, I know that the mother is the one that would give up having that child so that child could live. In there's something of a gift of wisdom. It's pretty dramatic. But what about when we have a problem at work that just doesn't seem like there's a way through in a project or in a relationship? Maybe it's a financial decision and everything just looks confusing. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. See, the gifts are about the glory of God, revealing his nature, his generosity. And he will give without reproach, it will be given. I think this for me is something that I need to pray into more. God, will you just give me wisdom? Start to give me words of wisdom, understanding into situations and circumstances. Solomon's wisdom brought clarity, direction, and godly counsel to a complex and sensitive situation. That's words of wisdom. Words of knowledge. Words of knowledge involve specific words given into people's life around situations or conditions. So it might be an insight about a person, a situation, or a place, but it's a revelation from God. Think about Jesus in John 4 when he meets the woman at the well. So this woman comes, Samaritan woman comes in the middle of the day, and Jesus starts to speak into her life. I know the man you're with is not your husband. You've been married before, and this is your story. He starts to speak into her life. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, speaking into her life. Not to shame her, but to bring life. And that's the key. That we're not speaking these words to shame people, but it's to invite God to bring life. Faith, the gift of faith. Might seem like a funny one. It's like surely, well, there's a gift we've all got. Tick. Woohoo! That's one we can say we've got. But actually, this is faith that goes beyond what we can have ourselves in a particular moment where we need to step out. I sometimes think that actually we need to be asking for gifts of faith when it comes to stepping out into words of knowledge. We'll look at it in a minute, into healing and miracles. Maybe we need to ask for faith in those moments. About 10 years ago, I met an amazing lady called Magda. I went to visit her, and she was an Iranian lady. And when I met her, she'd been in prison because she converted to Christianity. And her husband is the one that brought the charges against her. And she was stood in court, her husband, the one bringing the charges, saying that she'd converted to Christianity. And the judge in that moment said, okay, here's what we're going to do. If you renounce your faith in Jesus, I will set you free right now and you can go be with your family. If you do not renounce your faith in Jesus, you will never see your family again. She'd got a 2-year-old daughter. Impossible decision. And when I sat and spoke to her, she doesn't know how she was able to make the decision, because in that moment, the decision she made was, I will not renounce my faith in Jesus. And she was sent to prison. And she's, by the time I'd seen her, she'd served the time, and it had been 4 years since she'd seen her daughter. And she has no idea how in that moment she was able to make that decision. When she thought about it looking back, she was like, I'm not sure I'd make that decision again. As hard as that sounds, but I love my daughter. But in that moment, I believe she received the gift of faith. Something that empowered her to live into all that God was calling her to be, that was beyond her ability. The gift of faith. Moving on quickly, the gift of healing. This is where we see God start to move supernaturally and heal a disease or infirmity in somebody's life. I just wonder, just for a moment, I don't know how this is going to go, but if you have ever experienced somebody being healed, or you've been prayed for and been healed, or you've prayed for somebody and there's been healing of any sort, just raise your hand right now if you've experienced that. Wow. Just look around. Just raise your hands. God still heals today. And he can use us as we pray for people to bring gifts of healing. I remember being in Africa once, and I was praying for a lady who was blind, and she started to squeal. I'm like, that's never what you want when you're praying for somebody. You want to bring like God's peace and God's comfort, but she's squealing. And through a translator, she started saying, I can see light. And she was completely blind. She couldn't see it. There was no like shadows or anything. It was black. She couldn't see anything. And she started to squeal and she started to push me away. I'm like, all right, come on. But she's pushing me away because she wanted me to stand further away from her because her eyesight was starting to improve. And she could see me as I'm stepping further away. It became not just, it was like that moment in when Jesus puts mud on their eyes, although I didn't do that. And she started to see shapes. And she was like, just move away, move away. And she started to see, and she could see. And I'm stood probably the distance of this room away. And she could see me, having before that not being able to see a single thing. God still heals. The gift of healing brings restoration, hope. It is a visible witness to the world of God's love and power. But one thing we need to know is that not everyone we pray for will be healed. Not everybody we pray for will be healed. But I love this quote from John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard movement. He says this, I decided long ago that if 100 people received prayer and only one is healed, it is better than none receive prayer and no one being healed. Amen. So we get to step out God, give us the faith to step out, to believe that when we encounter people that need healing, we can pray and trust you to bring healing and wholeness into people's lives. The gift of healing. Paul goes on. Let me go quickly. Just bear with me a couple more minutes. Prophecy. A prophetic word is when God gives someone a specific glimpse into your future or your now to encourage you. So yes, prophecy is about future events, but it's also about speaking into the now of people's lives. It's foretelling and forthtelling. And by doing so, Paul elsewhere in his teaching says to encourage and strengthen and comfort others. Prophecies come in by way of pictures, of words, of a scripture, of dreams. And it reminds us who God is and how we are called to live in alignment with his heart for us. Prophetic word into people's lives. The other one that I want to touch on quickly that I think Sandra was speaking a little bit about a few moments ago, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is it's like a supernatural revelation that gives us insight to the source or the motivation or something else that's going on in the spiritual realm, either in a place or in somebody's life. And we just get that, this something different about this. It is not somebody seeing somebody else do something suspicious and going, hang on a minute, you shouldn't behave like that. And then what happens is we end up labeling it with some spirit of something, spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of something, spirit of lust, spirit of anger, spirit of something. Can I just say, when we witness somebody behaving in a way or doing something that we know is not how Christians should behave, can I just call out what that is? It's called being a hypocrite. And you know what? Welcome to the club. Because 100% of this room that are following Jesus, I'm trying not to offend anybody, I'll be front of the queue, but we're all hypocrites. That's not discernment of spirits. Discernment of spirits is when everything looks absolutely fine on the surface, but we just discern something that seems to be going against. And I think sometimes these gifts can be used to kind of determine what we want to say and how we want. No, this is when something looks completely different. And actually, it's not always negative. Think of Jesus when he sees Nathanael under the tree. He knows nothing of Nathanael, but he calls the good out of him. There's the discernment of spirits. Wow, let me bring forth the goodness out of you. He does it with Peter as well. When Peter, he's telling Peter and the disciples that he's going to be crucified and on the third day he'll raise. And Peter says, no, it can't be so. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. He sees there's something else going on under the surface in the behavior. It's discernment of spirits. And let me finish with this morning. Tongues and the interpretation. I'm putting these together because I just want to briefly just bring some teaching on speaking in tongues. We read, as we have done this morning, in Acts chapter 2, that some, as they speak tongues, actually speak languages that are unknown to them. What I haven't, I'm sure greater theologians in the room than me, just something for you to go away and think about. When the Spirit lands and they start to speak in tongues, it says that the others in the room heard and understood. So is the language they're speaking a heavenly language that then God brings an understanding to the person's ears to hear, or are they actually speaking a language that is known? Does that make sense? That's just something to throw out there. I've not landed on what that is either way. But for those of you that like to explore that, are they speaking a heavenly language and the people understand it and hear it, or are they speaking that actual language? Just throw that out there. This is where my mind goes when I start to explore things like this. But we see throughout the scriptures that other times this language is described as the tongues of men and angels, a heavenly language. For many, speaking in tongues can seem like one of the strangest gifts. Why, Jesus, would you give? Why give that to your church, Holy Spirit? And you may have heard people speaking in tongues in this church, and maybe you thought, this is a little bit strange. But Scripture speaks into, and I just want to speak into this very briefly, that tongues, it speaks into in two different ways, that there is a personal use of tongues and a public use of tongues. And actually, Paul says about the personal use of tongues, he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Anybody want to be built up? I want to be built up. I know that. And I can say that intentionally, when I spend time just speaking in tongues, I don't know how, but it does just build you up. There's something about speaking in tongues that builds up the one who does. One of the unique and beautiful things about this gift is that it's personal. It builds us up. How? Well, when words fail about what we think of God and how we can pray into a situation, we know that we can speak in tongues and pray in tongues, and God understands the Spirit is interceding on our behalf. We can depend on the Holy Spirit. So there's a personal use of speaking in tongues. There's also a public use of speaking in tongues. Actually, let me just explain on the personal one just for a moment. You may hear, just because it's a personal use doesn't mean it always has to be private. So actually, sometimes when we're worshiping, I'm quite comfortable singing and speaking in tongues because I'm doing it as a worship moment between me and God. It's not as a corporate setting. We might be in a corporate setting, but it's not to build up the church. It's a moment with me, and we're gathered together and we're singing one voice, but I'm praying and just having that moment with God, and that's what happens. So sometimes in the church setting, we can gather and people can be praying in tongues. It's still the personal use of praying in tongues, but there is a public use. And the public use, Paul says, is that... In others of his teaching, he says, so what happens when someone speaks in public in tongues is it's for everybody to hear. And what will happen in that moment is, as someone leading the service, we'll just wait on God. We'll just go, do you know what? We just think somebody has just spoken in tongues for us as a church. And that moment is for the church to be built up, to be encouraged, to be edified. And so what do? Well, actually, we're going to believe that God will just bring an interpretation of that in a way that we can understand it, in a language that we can understand. Because otherwise, we're not really built up. It's just someone speaking in a language we don't understand. So then we'll just wait on God and we'll say, will you come and bring the interpretation to build up the church? What I said was we need the word of God to shape how we see the Spirit of God. And one of the ways that the Spirit moves is through speaking in tongues. And it's a gift, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, I want you all to speak in tongues. It's a gift for everybody. It doesn't mean everybody gets the gift, but it's a gift that's available to everybody to be built up and to build up the church. It's a gift that says everyone can benefit from. And he says, eagerly desire these gifts. Band, I wonder if you just come and play. We're going to finish. But I just want us to give us a couple of minutes. And if you're willing, should we just stand together? We're going to finish in the next 2 minutes. And as we finish, I don't know if one of those gifts or maybe one of the other gifts that I briefly mentioned in Romans, I could speak about this for the next couple of hours. I've got a lot of notes, but we're going to just draw things to a close because I appreciate time and respect that. But just before we go, maybe one of those gifts... it's just something that inside you're just like, something about that. God. Maybe it's that you've never spoken in tongues. And for you to be able to have that connection with God that builds you up. Maybe words of knowledge into somebody's life. It starts by seeking the giver. So in this moment, just fix your attention on God. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you acknowledge right now that actually my life hasn't been one of seeking you. I've been seeking other things. So in this moment, just honestly come before him. There's no shame. We say in this church a number of times that God never calls us to be sinless, but he calls us to be blameless. That means we can come before God and we can confess. And in our confession, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. There's no shame. So Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. I accept you. I seek you. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe in this moment, just if you feel that's something you want to do, just thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price, that you died on the cross for all that I have ever done. I accept you and I believe you that you died and 3 days later you rose again and that you invite me into newness of life. Come and fill me with your Spirit right now. For others, maybe just coming back to that place of Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, I seek you now. Help me to live for you. Just keep seeking the giver. And for those of you in this place that just, maybe there is that desiring of the gift right now, just put your hands out in front of you. If there's one of those gifts... and I don't know about you, but when it's my birthday and someone passes me a gift, I put my hands out to receive it. And so simply just putting our hands out is an outward posture of a heart that's willing to receive. And so, God, I'm going to simply pray that you see these open hands. Will you fill them, Holy Spirit, with your gifts right now? And we're not going to prolong it. We're not going to drag it out. The move of the Spirit doesn't require an increased volume from me. I'm just going to simply pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill these hands with your gifts. And I pray as a church, you'd increasingly give us opportunities for these gifts to flow. Increase the boldness of us as a church to step into. Now, I want to encourage you. Keep your hands out. I just want to encourage you. I believe God is just giving gifts to his church because that's what he likes to do. That is what he longs to do. But when my kids were born, they weren't born immediately being able to run. Just believe the Spirit's just touching people right now. So come, Holy Spirit, just move in this place. Move by your power. Move in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. When my kids were born, they weren't just able to run straight away. They got up and they fell down. And we didn't scold them for that. We don't scold our kids as parents, do we, when they're learning to walk? We encourage it. And so I want to say in this place, we are going to be a place that is learning to walk in the Spirit. That will mean there are moments when we fall down, when we get it wrong. But we encourage one another, get up. Step in, keep walking in the Spirit. It's okay to get it wrong. If our heart is one to encourage and build up and equip and strengthen and love, no one's died. It's okay. And so I just want, as the pastor of this church, to say, as these hands are open right now, the invitation is to step in, to start walking. And it's okay if we get it wrong. So come, Holy Spirit. Maybe right now is that gift that you long for. Maybe in this moment just say, God, I receive the gift you have for me. I receive the gift you have for me. And so what we're going to do now is we just worship. As the team lead us in worship, we're going to just create some space and opportunity. So maybe whatever the gift is that you're longing for, if it's speaking in tongues, I just want to encourage you, just start to speak out. Don't have to have a lesson in speaking in tongues, just it's a gift that we receive from the Spirit. So say, I receive it, and step in and start walking. Maybe for others it's healing. So as we just finish, you might want to grab, maybe the gift this morning for you is I need a coffee. Go and grab a coffee, that's fine. But if you need healing this morning, I'd love to invite you just to come and sit at the front. And if you are hungry to be able to see healing come about in people's lives, why don't you just come and start praying for them? Maybe it's words of knowledge, and I want to encourage you now, if you feel you've got a word from God, step in, start walking. Come and share with me or share with the person. If it's encouraging, equipping, building them up, step in. I think I missed the gift of miracles as I was explaining those. But that's similar to healing, but it's not about people's bodies. It's like Jesus turning water into wine. Amen. Phil wants to receive the gift of turning water into wine. But let's just start to step into it. My heart is that as a church, we would walk in the Spirit. So as the pastor of this church, I say, let's start walking. Let's just start walking. And we're going to give space when we gather and we come with expectation. And thank you so much for your time. But the team are going to lead us. If you want to sing and worship, do. If you want to grab a tea or coffee, do. If you want to start praying for anybody that might want some healing, come to the front if you want that. And we'll pray. Just start walking in the Spirit. And so let's just pray. God, I thank you that when we ask, you say you give. When we seek, you say we will find. When we knock, you say the door will be opened. God, I thank you that you are so generous, that you invite us to ask and you say you will give. And so I pray as a church, you'd increase a hunger for you, Holy Spirit, to step into the gifts, to see you flow and move through this church, in and out and through, so the world can see your character through the fruit that you display, Holy Spirit, and the world will see your power through how we live. So come, Holy Spirit, that is our prayer as we leave this place this morning. Amen. Amen.